Well, Merry Christmas. How we doing? Did I get your blood going this morning? I'm pretty sure that was the first time we've ever had a Christmas children's song. Does that bring joy to you this morning? Awesome. Can you believe we're already at Christmas? I say it every year. It happens every year. I don't know. Maybe you're like me where you're like, this year is going to be different. I'm not going to just blow through the whole Christmas season. I'm going to savor every moment of it. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to start this ritual. And before you know it, you're 3 days before Christmas and you're like, good thing I still have Amazon Prime. Because I know that I still have one more day. Is it today, I think, is the last day? We can do overnight shipping maybe tomorrow. Anyone else? You got a couple more gifts left to get? Well, hey, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of Luke chapter 2. And as Ben mentioned before, this is our last service of 2019. And as we close this year and look to begin a new year, let me just say thank you so much for this year. It has been an amazing journey that we've been on this year, in years past, and I'm so thankful for this group. I'm so thankful for the journey that we're on together. And I've thought back over 2019, and we've been involved in some pretty amazing things together this year. Some of you, this is your first year. 2019 was the first year that you jumped in with both feet to Awaken, and it has been such a pleasure having you join our community and being a part of what we get to do here together in Westchester County. So I just want to say thank you. Thanks for allowing this journey to continue. We'll take a break next week. My prayer for you is that you would slow down a bit, that you would take that Sunday morning that we have off from church and not find another church to go to, which if you want to go to another service, by all means, like please go and do it. But just take the time to be with family, with friends. Maybe you need a quiet morning alone yourself. That's why we do it. We want to create space so that you can have the solitude or the downtime that you need as we close out this year and look to begin 2020. And I want to say this, a special thank you to our worship team, our volunteer worship team. It was about this time last year that Josh left us, and Josh had been sort of our main worship leader for a little over a year, and I just started patching things together after Josh left and found a bunch of different worship leaders, and they came, but then I was having a really difficult time finding worship leaders, so maybe you remember we started using YouTube, and then Matilda one day asked Romy and Heiko, why are the walls singing? And they were like, well, maybe we should do something about this. And so through their leadership, they started this volunteer worship team, which has been amazing just to see all these hidden talents that we have here within Awaken. So thank you so much for your music, your worship, and for all the time that you have dedicated to making our worship time possible on Sunday mornings. You have limited, or actually completely killed the walls from singing. So thank you for that. Now this morning, what I want to do is I want to look at the story of Christmas as told by Luke to the shepherds some 2,000 years ago. And there's one particular phrase that I just want to circle around this morning as a way for us to see this endless, one of the endless invitations that Christmas offers for us this morning. Let's begin Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Now in verse 16, which is the first verse right here, I would go back one second, it says, go forward to one more. There we are. So verse 16, so they hurried off. Other translations put it this way for verse 16. They went with haste. There's a certain amount of speed that the angels left their fields, left their flock, in order to go and visit Jesus. Now, this word haste is the Greek word spoidu. Can you say spoidu? What spoidu means, it means to hasten, to urge on, or to desire earnestly. Now, let's think back to middle school grammar for a moment, shall we? Because that's always a fun time. Earnestly is an adverb. Now, do we remember what adverbs do? The technical term is they modify words. So the word that they're paired with, they describe it to a greater detail. So in the definition of spoidu, this word desire is paired with the adverb earnestly. So what's happening here, what we're being told, is that the shepherds aren't just desiring something, they're actually cranking that desire up a couple of notches. So you have desire, right? We all have basic desires, but then there are the other types of desires that go beyond just simply the basic desires that we have. So here's a couple of basic desires that I thought of. If you're a child, or maybe an adult like myself, and you get a snow day. Do you remember? I remember when I was a kid, I would just lie in bed. I'd turn the radio on before cell phones, and I would have to wait for every half hour for the radio to say whether or not your school is delayed or canceled. And when that glorious moment comes, when they say, "Summer schools are canceled for the day," I would just jump out of bed, watch TV, put on my snow clothes, go. I mean, the fact that is a desire, the fact that it snows and you don't have to sit in school for the entire day. Here's another desire. And let me just say this, okay? Hold on, just being real honest here. Many of you, I noticed, came in with Starbucks coffee cups. Where's mine? Just saying. Peppermint. Mocha. Yeah, so there's a desire. Every time that you see the new design, the new Starbucks coffee designs for Christmas, something within you just is like, oh, yeah, we're taking coffee to the next level. Here's another desire. Chipotle. Some of you are getting hungry already. There's one right across the street. Here's another one. You have this desire, you get through a hard day at work, the kids are finally asleep, and the only thing that you can think to do, the only thing that you desire to do is sit on the couch and veg. Maybe it's a movie that you've been wanting to watch for a couple of weeks. It was in theaters, you didn't get a chance to go see it, now it's on demand. So you have this desire at the end of a long day to sit on your couch, put your feet up, make some hot chocolate, grab the remote, and just totally veg out. Or here's another one of my favorite desires. Yeah, that just, right there. And another one. The desire of unwrapping the perfect present on Christmas morning. Many of you are looking forward to this right now. You're thinking, I wonder what they got me. Or maybe it's this other desire. You bought what you believe to be the perfect gift for someone else, and your desire is to see them open it and their eyes to light up with awe. The fact that, oh my goodness, they got me that? Oh, they really know me. So we have some of these basic desires, but then we have these earnest desires that we all carry within us. They're desires that they go beyond the material, and they pierce us somewhere deep within ourselves, and in that place that's often referred to as the soul. These are desires that are at the heart of what it means to be human. The desire for love, the desire for acceptance, the desire for connection with another person, the desire for self-worth, believing in your worthiness, the desire for community, the desire to live a meaningful life, a life that matters, a life that isn't solely about yourself, but is about giving back for the flourishing of this entire creation, or the desire for forgiveness, the desire for a relationship to be mended, to be put back together, or a desire to feel whole, to experience wholeness. See, these earnest desires are at the heart of what it means to be human. These earnest desires, they go beyond just the basic desires we have for a nice Chipotle burrito or a warm Starbucks coffee, and they hit us somewhere deep within, in the place that you can't touch, you can't x-ray, you can't put through an MRI tube, but it's the piece of you that is where your true humanity lies. This is what's happening with the shepherds. The angels are giving this announcement, and the shepherds are leaving their fields with haste because there's something within them that is earnestly desiring that which this message is promising to fulfill. I remember a couple of years ago, we can go to the next slide, a couple of years ago, right when we were starting Awaken, there was a group of us that went to the Czech Republic. I think it was about three of us from Awaken. This was early on. I believe it was the first year of Awaken's existence. We went to the Czech Republic. We toured the country, and I mean like tore it. We were in a different city. Like every other day, we were getting on a train, getting our bags, and going somewhere else. And we were going school to school, teaching English, and then teaching Bible studies in the afternoon. Loved it. I mean, how could you not? I remember sitting on a river in Prague one night eating dinner. How could you not love being in Czech Republic and experiencing the fullness of that culture? But this was probably about a month or two after I started dating Steph. I loved my time in the Czech Republic, but that whole time there was something within me where I just wanted to go home and see Steph because we were just starting to date. You know how it is when there's something that's new and fresh and you just want to spend all your time with that one person or doing that thing that is so new. And I remember we flew home, we landed in JFK sometime in the afternoon, made it back up to Westchester. It was already dark. This was mid-February. I got back to my apartment, dropped my bags, and with haste, in spoidu, I ran to my car, jumped in it, cranked the motor, and flew down the Henry Hudson to go to Manhattan to go see Steph. Because I missed her, and I wanted to see her. It didn't matter what I had to do. It didn't matter the fact that I was completely jet-lagged and exhausted and had been sleeping on floors for the past 2 weeks and was being dragged all around this country. It didn't matter that when you're gone for 2 weeks, things stack up. Laundry stacks up. There's all sorts of things. As soon as you get home from vacation, there's that growing list of things that you know that you had left kind of to the side before vacation and the things that piled up during. It didn't matter about any of that. The only thing I wanted to do was go down and see her. See, this is the picture that Luke paints for us here in his gospel. The shepherds, with haste, they hear this message, they drop everything. It didn't matter what they had to do. It didn't matter that Billy the sheep was somewhere far off over there. They didn't care about him for that time. They dropped, imagine this, they actually put their phones down for a moment. I know, right? Like, what? There's no FOMO here. They probably left lights on. They left everything. They probably looked at each other and were like, yo, we have to go. Why? Because this message that the angels were proclaiming, it hit them somewhere deep in their soul. It was promising to fulfill a longing that they carried deep within them. And so they said, well, we have to go and do this. We have to go and see if this promise can truly deliver on what it's promising. Now, when I read a story like this, there's a question. For me, this raises all sorts of questions. One of them being, oh, let's go one more slide. Did all the shepherds go with haste to see Jesus? Because there's always that one guy. You know this person. It's the person, the guy in your office, or it's that uncle that you see once a year on Thanksgiving. It's the neighbor who every time they walk the dog, you do everything you possibly can to avoid this neighbor, because this person, the only thing that they do is they constantly are grumbling and complaining. They're telling you about the ways in which they've been screwed over, the ways in which they've been burned. They've been burned one too many times in life, and so they're unable to believe that there's any goodness left in the universe. You know that one person who's like, hey, have I ever told you this story? And they're like, yeah, like 17 times before. And you know that this story is just basically about how they were burned or how something happened to them, and they just want to complain the entire time. I have to believe that maybe there was a shepherd like this. If you have a group of 15 shepherds, maybe 14 of them ran with haste, but I have to believe that there's always that one guy, which if you know anything about the story of the Jewish people at this time, you know that their history has been marked by one heartbreak after the next. They had been promised for generation after generation that a Savior was going to come and rescue them, to liberate them, to set them free. If you remember back from a couple of weeks ago, we said that the shepherds, they were at the low end of the social totem pole. Maybe they were outcasts. They were marginalized. They were seen as less significant than those who were in power. They had been kicked to the side. They were feeling the weight of the Roman oppression. So here are these shepherds who, being part of the Jewish homeland, they know what it's like to feel abandoned. They know what it's like to be kicked to the side in favor of someone else. They know what it's like to have your hopes rise and then all of a sudden just to be dashed again, to have your feet cut out from under you. And so they're asking, at this point in the story, they're asking all sorts of questions like, well, has God abandoned us? Is God even for us any longer? The story about God's love for our people, well, was that a truth simply for our ancestors that's no longer true today? They were asking all sorts of questions like this that I have to believe that there was at least one shepherd who just couldn't muster up the hope to believe again. Because believing that a Savior, the true Savior, was coming into the world, well, that was going to take an extra ounce of hope. You know how this goes. When your heart gets crushed so many times, it takes a little more strength to get up and walk again. So see, for me, at the heart of the Christmas story is an invitation to believe again. At the heart of the Christmas story is an invitation to believe in hope again. Here were these shepherds. There have been so many proclaimed messiahs and saviors who came before, and all the Jewish people, including the shepherds, had seen these movements squashed. They rose up, and they came crashing down. So at the heart of the Christmas story is to blow off all the cobwebs on your hope muscles, and to muster up the strength to set aside the cynicism, the grumbling, the complaining and to believe again that there are things in this life that can deliver on what they promise. It's the invitation to believe things can change. Things can be healed. The things that you look at and see as being broken beyond repair, well, they can actually be put back together. You don't need to live in this endless cycle of cynicism, believing that nothing will ever change. You can stand up and you can hope again. You can approach life with a sense of awe and wonder and begin again to see the beauty in the one precious life that you have. We started a new tradition in the Stradling household just in the past couple of weeks, where Reese has been waking up at just an ungodly hour. And it's an hour which produces mass cynicism within myself that things will ever change. So I'm talking about leaving cynicism behind, but I'm saying that I am, yeah. So we had this new tradition where he wakes up in the morning and he says, I want to watch The Grinch. So I'm like, all right. And we're talking like the original Grinch, like the original Dr. Seuss, I believe it's in the 60s Grinch. He says, I want to watch The Grinch. So I've kind of fed into this a little bit. We'll get on the couch, pull the blanket up, and we'll just turn The Grinch on first thing in the morning. The whole time The Grinch is going, Reese has this small little smile on his face. Absolutely loves it. But then we get to his favorite scene. And I have a picture here. So his favorite scene is actually when the Grinch and his dog Max are sledding down the mountain going to steal everyone's presents. And that little circus parade music comes on. And it's at this point in The Grinch where that slight smile turns into this massive smile across his face. And he'll just look up at me, making sure that I'm watching with him because he wants me to experience it with him. Or the other day, I was in the other room making coffee, and this scene came on, and he gets over the edge of the chair. He peers back at me with this massive smile as if to say, hey, Dad, like, my favorite part's on. So I go rushing into the room and just sit there with him and watch that one scene as they go sledding down the mountain. This is a picture of wonder. It's a picture of awe. It's a picture of what it means to embrace the beauty of this world. It's what you saw in these children's faces up here this morning, especially during Jingle Bells. Did you notice that? Jingle Bells just took it to a whole other level, especially once they sped it up. Whoa. It's a picture that you'll see on children's faces Christmas morning, when they wake up and they see the Christmas tree with all the presents under it for the first time. And then their smile will even get bigger as they begin ripping into those presents as fast as they possibly can. It's a picture of what it looks like to leave cynicism behind. It's a picture of what it looks like to hope again, to believe again, to trust that there is goodness in this world, that there is a Savior who has been saving and rescuing and bringing healing to this earth for thousands of years. It's a picture of what it looks like to believe that that Savior, this Jesus, is doing the same in our world today. It's a picture of what it looks like to believe that your story isn't finished. And just like the shepherds on that first Christmas, Could this be true? Yeah, I understand that we've had our hearts broken before. I understand that we've been trying to protect ourselves so that it doesn't happen again. We don't get burnt again. But we're willing to take a step. We're willing to go spoidu with haste because we're willing to believe that all the things that we earnestly desire and hope for and long for can still come to pass. We're willing to leave our grumbling and our complaining and our cynicism behind, to believe that yes, today things can be different and hope is still alive in this world. It's a chance to allow God to melt all of the ice away from our hearts, all the ice that has built up, that has kept us protected from getting our hearts broken. But in reality, all it does is prevents us from experiencing the fullness and the beauty and the joy that this world and this life have to offer. This Christmas, may you set aside the cynicism in your hearts. May you choose to believe that there is a goodness in this world, that there are things in this world that can still deliver all that they promise. This Christmas, may you choose to believe again, to have hope. May you allow the Spirit of God to melt all the coldness and the bitterness and the hopelessness away from your heart, so that you can experience in a fresh new way the love and the joy, the peace, and the salvation that this Jesus brings to us today. God, we thank you for this story of Christmas. God, we thank you for the story of the shepherds. God, a message that sought out these shepherds in a far-off field and came proclaiming, you're worthy and you're loved and God is with you. God, it was a message that caused the shepherds to drop everything and to run with haste, with speed, to go see this Jesus that the angels were proclaiming, this Jesus who could fulfill all those earnest desires that the shepherds carried within them. So God, I pray for us this Christmas season, God, that we would choose to believe again. God, that we would choose to hope. God, that we would choose to cast aside the hopelessness or any of the beliefs that say things can't change, and that we would embrace a newfound hope. God, that we would choose to believe that you are still in the business of bringing healing and salvation and hope to our hearts today. God, may we experience afresh the saving, joy-bringing message of Jesus. God, may our hearts be filled with hope this year. God, may we choose to focus on the joy and the wonder that's around us. God, may we choose to hope again. And I pray as we do so, God, as we muster up the extra ounce, the extra strength that we might need, God, that we would be set free from all those destructive narratives that threaten to take us away from life. God, the stories that threaten to take away our joy and our hope. And may we be filled with your presence and your peace. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.